Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us again here on Radio Tyneside via Hospedia, your bedside entertainment system. A shift has taken place with our readings today. A few weeks ago, we were looking at events surrounding Jesus' birth, baptism, and early ministry. But today, with the season of Lent approaching, our readings will be helping us to look forward to Jesus' death and resurrection over the next few weeks. I'm opening our programme today with the most glorious hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I think you'll enjoy this one, and it is a fitting song of praise for our theme today, the Transfiguration of Jesus.
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise His name, I'm fixed upon it, the name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto Thy love has blessed me, Thou hast drawn me to this place, and I know Thy hand will lead me safely home by Thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from to rescue me from danger, bought me with His precious blood.
Our Bible reading today is taken from Mark 9:2-9. 6 days later, Jesus took with Him Peter and James and John, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And He was transfigured before them, and His clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to Him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them any more, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, He ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So the disciples followed where Jesus led. And so I pray these words of a famous hymn as an opening prayer. So, most glorious Lord, may we evermore be led to Thee. I wonder who knows which hymn that phrase comes from. Of course, it's As With Gladness, Men of Old. Let's listen to Candy Pearson singing, He Leadeth Me.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes it seems our deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still over to stand, when by thy grace the victory's won. Even death's cold wave, I will not flee.
And so it says in today's reading, Jesus led them up a high mountain. Experts disagree over whether this mountain was Mount Hermon or Mount Tabor, but whichever it was a place of solitude. There on that mountain, these disciples, Peter, James and John, saw for themselves a metamorphosis, a change in Jesus' appearance. His garments became radiant. The word Mark uses was still been like the glistening gleam of gold or precious metal. Jesus' face shone rather like the glare of sunlight. He was transfigured, and the disciples were overcome with awe. They were told not to speak of it until after Jesus had been raised from the dead. They may not quite have understood it at the time, but they never forgot their unique mountaintop experience, and were to speak of it years later. It clearly had a profound effect upon them. Later, John, as a gospel writer, would come to say in chapter 1, verse 14, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only." Peter, later in the second of his letters, chapter 1, would come to write these words, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." Let's have a hymn entitled Glorious. It's all about the experience of a glorious symphony lighting our hearts. Surely this was the case for those disciples that day on the mountain.
There are times when you might feel aimless and can't see the places where you belong, but you will find that there is a purpose. It's been there within you all along. And when you're near it, you can almost hear it. It's like a symphony. Just keep listening, and pretty soon you'll start to figure out your part. Everyone plays a piece in their own melody. Each one of us, oh, it's glorious. And you will know how to let it ring out as you discover who you are. Others around you will start to wake up to the sounds that are in their hearts. It's so amazing what we're all creating. It's like a symphony. Just keep listening, and pretty soon you'll start to figure out your part. Everyone plays a piece in their own melodies, and each one of us, oh, is glorious. It's like a symphony. Just keep listening, and pretty soon you'll start to figure out your part. Everyone plays a piece in their own melodies, and each one of us, oh, is glorious.
Also in this story, we witness something of the revelation of who Jesus really was and is. Many have claimed throughout history that Jesus was merely a good man, a notable teacher, a worker of good deeds. Some claim today in a very familiar way of having him as a friend and brother. But here in today's reading, we see how the disciples were given a wonderful picture preview of the one who had come to be known as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Scripture tells us that Jesus' divine nature had been veiled or curtained in human form. But here at the top of the mountain, Peter, James and John saw through and beyond the veil to a glimpse of his future glory. But not only that, Moses the lawgiver and Elijah the prophet also appeared by Jesus' side and talked with him. When the disciples offered to mark the very spot with permanent shelters, God's voice sounded from heaven, just as it did at his baptism, repeating once more, "This is my son, listen to him." I wonder, are we listening out for the voice of Jesus today? Do we even know what he had to say to the world then? Perhaps we are living in the times when we need to begin to listen afresh. Here's a song called "These Are the Days of Elijah."
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, we are the voice in the desert.
I wonder if you would like to come with me up this mountain this morning by way of a prayerful meditation set to music to an instrumental piece called Erin Shaw by The Cause from their album Forgiven, Not Forgotten. Imagine that Jesus is walking right here in full view, asking us to follow him, to walk in his footsteps. Picture him looking around, seeking out those who would be his disciples. Which of us will go with him to the high place? Who will ascend the mountain of the Lord? Scripture would say, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, or sworn by what is false. How mentally prepared are we for such a journey? Let's leave behind our excess baggage and go with him. And so we join him and begin the journey together, cautiously, wondering where Jesus is about to take us. Stumbling and falling, we climb on, higher and higher, into the cool mountain air. We turn and gaze at the view lying so far in the distance. We drink in all the beauty round us. We journey on, trusting Jesus every step of the way, wondering what's in store. What does he want to show us? What will he tell us? What lies in wait for us here in the lonely place? Are any of us feeling afraid or confused? No, we strengthen one another. Are we feeling worn out and exhausted by the climb? No, we encourage one another. The air gradually becomes thinner or breathing more laboured. Do we feel like giving up or at least sitting down and resting? No, we spur each other on and we don't stop to grumble or moan. Quite simply, we decide to follow Jesus every step of the way as he leads us on to the summit. Quite soon we come to a place of sudden and eerie stillness. We're told to wait and go no further. So we watch Jesus closely to see what will happen next. He goes some distance from us and slowly turns to face us. But just then the sun emerges through the mist. The face of Jesus suddenly begins to glow and shine like the sun's rays. His eyes become a glowing fire. His hair becomes as white as the snow. His robes, his image become brighter until we're almost blinded. Two figures approach him and begin to talk with him. They resemble holy men of old. They resemble the old prophet Elijah and the giver of the law, Moses. Is this who they are? Who knows what they say? We strain to hear, but we cannot make out every word. Are they words of pain or joy? Of suffering or rejoicing? Of strange forebodings or of future glory? Of freedom and proclamation? Are they words of prophecy, only for the years of our Lord? Whatever they're saying, this is indeed for us a very special moment. Hearts are racing, beating so fast. We knew we had to come to a higher plane, a higher level, and we are lost in worship and praise. We resolved to build three permanent memorials, ones that will be built to last. Here on the Holy Mountain, we will mark the very spot of this transfiguration and hold it in our minds forever. We will stay here. But just then, a cloud overshadows us, and all grows dark. As we hear a voice from heaven booming out, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Some days before, Jesus had been telling the disciples of his coming death, and he had told them that some of them would not taste death themselves until they had seen the kingdom come in glory. This glory they experienced on the mountain was but a foretaste, looking to a time when Jesus' disciples too would undergo a revolutionary transformation by the Holy Spirit after Jesus' death and resurrection at Pentecost. But now the thought of erecting permanent shelters for worship were put to one side, For the disciples, it was a time to rejoin the real world down the mountain. It's so tempting today too for people who go through exciting conversion experiences, often referred to as mountaintop experiences, to want to remain in the moment forever, just like those disciples did. But there's much to be accomplished way back down on the plain. Peter's ideas almost got in the way of Jesus' plan for him and others in the world. What was now important was for them to listen and obey, not just stand still in awe. Author John Ortberg once wrote, "There's a way of living that leads to stagnation and boredom, where sinful patterns of behaviour never get confronted and changed, abilities and gifts never get cultivated and deployed, deep, intimate, gut-wrenchingly honest conversations never take place, and weeks become months and months turn to years, and one day we're looking back on a life of great, bold prayers we never prayed, exhilarating rides we never took, sacrificial gifts we never gave, lives we never touched, and we're sitting in a recliner with a shriveled soul and forgotten dreams, and we realise there was a world of desperate need and a great God calling us to be part of something bigger than ourselves." Let's finish today with a hymn called The Touching Place, composed by John Bell. It's a hymn which reminds us to see Christ in everyone and to come alongside them in their need. Bye for now.
Christ is the world in which we move. Christ's are the folk we're summoned to love. Christ is the voice which calls us to Christ is the one who meets us here.
Through the walls, Christ shows his grace. To the unloved, he gives his embrace. To those who
for the